on a level. Yeah, I'm on a level.
The mics are hot. The mics are hot.
Whiskey and ginger in my cup.
Hey, we started a show off with a drink. Like, should we just cheers?
Yeah, cheers.
To the, another Tuesday on the Adobe Radio Network.
Cheers. Smoking and drinking on a Tuesday night.
Well, technically it is Tuesday p.m., right? So we're drinking. It's 7 o'clock in New York. It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. And you are listening to Los Angeles.
Yes, let's get happy. Mickey Mouse shrieked in pain as the bear trap severed his leg.
The bird is the word. I'm ready. I'm warmed up.
You ready? Andre the Giant gave a surprisingly nimble foot rub. And with that...
And with that, the Dangerous Darren Show is on the air. The date is July the 26th of the year of our Lord. Episode number 40, TS. 40.
Man.
We made it to 40. It's old.
It's a marker, a mile marker.
It's a, We made it to 40, and we did it in style.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers, buddy. That. Another whiskey ginger. You like your whiskey ginger with a splash of ginger. I like mine almost filled to the top. Do you like to taste the whiskey?
I like to taste the whiskey better.
Is that because you're more of a man?
I'm much more of a man. I like the bougie ginger ales as well.
Okay.
I can't drink all that high fructose corn syrup. I just need like ginger and ale.
Does it keep your stealthy form?
It does. Keeps me in nimble.
You don't want to get whiskey dick.
No. He's not just a friend of your grandpa's.
The Dangerous Darren Show is live every single Tuesday. It's on Adobe Radio. Go to adobe.com for all their information. Hit them up. Hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram, DangerousD_show. TS, as always, with his most awesomeness Twitter handle, Burn H Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99. Thanks to our friends at RolandUSA.com for the use of the V-drums you heard at the top of the show. Me laying down the fucking sweet-ass motherfucking grooves every single week. Thank you, Roland. Hit him up on Twitter as well, at Roland_US. Get yourself a set of V-drums. They're a little bit pricey, but goddamn, they're exquisite.
The sounds, it's all there. It sounds like real drums.
I don't care if you can't play. When you get your V-drums, you'll be playing drums. Trust me. TS sucks at drums, and he sits down and he plays great. And you drum check for some of the greats.
It's the feel. It's the feel of the drums, yeah. Monkey see, monkey do.
We got a great show, TS. We have Bill Stevenson, drummer for The Descendants. Have you ever heard of The Descendants?
Yeah, yes, I have.
Do you know what they're all about?
I know exactly what they're all about.
Bill also played in a band called Black Flag. Are you familiar with them?
I've heard of them,
Yep. You've heard of them? Heard of them, okay. All right, yeah, they've been doing it for a little while, and they're relatively... mildly influential.
They've had several singers, several transitions.
Oh, by the way, on a side note, we're having Keith Morris on the show.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
He said he'd do it.
Amazing.
Yep. Love so, Keith. A singer of Off who was in Black Flag for a long, long time. Also, we have brand new music from The Descendants. They have a record coming out in 3 days, on the 29th of July. You can pick it up at Epitaph, get it at your local digital retailer. I'm assuming it's iTunes or it could be Amazon or whatever, but definitely go and get it. It's going to be vinyl or there's going to be a CD format, but most people these world most people these days live in a digital world. Brand new record from The Descendants called Hypercaffeium Spazinate, which when you hear the interview with Bill, he explains that it actually is a chemical compound that makes coffee more gnarly.
Yeah,
you know they're all about coffee, right?
I would like to get some.
We should hit him up and ask him to send us some.
Send me some hypercaffeinated spasticity.
Yes, I know. Hit them up on Twitter as well, at Descendants, Descendentsat Descendants. TS, how was your weekend? I know it's Tuesday, but how was your weekend? What did you end up doing?
It was good, man. Went to that art show. Went to
That was fun.
USA versus China basketball game at the Staples Center.
Now, no joke, the score was like 107-52 or some shit.
52, yeah.
That's like fucking bananas.
And it was.
Was it fun at least?
It was fun, man. We sat in the box seats. We had the suite. It was pretty bougie.
You
it was cool.
Were the man in the box.
Big ballin', shot callin'.
Really? Who'd you go with?
With our boy Dennis from the Shorty and our boy Pablo. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Went to a rooftop party downtown afterwards.
Ooh, look at you, fancy pants.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
Was there a dress code?
No, there was no dress code, but it was outdoor summer party, dude. I don't know, man. There was
girls,
Latin music, girls shaking their butts, people dancing.
Did you twerk?
I did not twerk, but
I know you know how to twerk.
I can. I'll show you later.
Yeah, we went to the Bad Brains, what's it called, Band in Babylon art exhibit. Did you know that Dave Grohl played?
I heard, and I missed the band, but I got
there
late.
We both missed the band. We both lagged on that one.
I saw pictures. Dennis was showing me pictures, and people were hopping the fence because they didn't want to wait. People were just going bananas.
Yeah, Dave Grohl and Jennifer, a bass player from Bad Brains, and Moby on guitar, and they did How Low Can a Punk Go, and I think they did a few others. But I saw some video today, and I was like, fuck.
Well,
I'm inside drinking beer, watching, you know, looking at art, which was awesome, by the way. The art of Daryl Jennifer and the guys in the Bad Brains and the set lists and photographs and stuff.
The Shepherd Fairey pieces that were there.
Mm-hmm.
The Obey.
Oh, yeah. Very cool stuff.
Bad Brains, very cool.
I had fun. We had fun. It was a good time. And then we almost got caught drunk driving.
Yeah.
Caught drunk driving.
That was crazy.
We went through a stop check and everybody, and I don't condone drunk driving, and I wasn't drunk, but I had a couple beers, but I wasn't intoxicated by any means, but I probably would have just barely blown over. I mean, I definitely was lucid and able to drive well and able to come up with a very clever story on the spot about me promoting a show with Beck in October, which is true. I'm working with a team about maybe putting together a show and where the 10 meets the 15 at this big soccer compound. So I came up with that whole story off the top of my head, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, that sounds exciting. You been drinking? And I go, oh, hell no, officer. No, no. Oh, okay, bye.
You know, I was sweating because I heard the story, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to remember what the story is in case they ask me. And then you pulled a full Jedi mind trick on these cops. It was like, these aren't the droids you're looking
for. These aren't the drunks you're looking
for. The drunks you're looking for.
So, TS, I got good news. I'm developing a new app. It's called Pokemon Go Fuck Yourself. Okay?
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. What you're going to do is you're going to download it. It's going to be free. And you're going to be able to go out and about. And you're going to be able to find dildos underneath like trash cans and parks or whatever, or, like in a tree or some under a bush, and then you're gonna like fuck yourself with it.
Oh my god.
And then you submit the video of you fucking yourself with a dildo, and the hotter the video, the more points you get. What do you think?
Yeah.
Am I onto something?
You might be onto something. I don't know if the Pokemon people will have something to say about this, but maybe we'll change the name like slightly.
Yep.
To like
poke your ass go.
Pokey woman.
Did you hear about the guy in Baltimore slammed into a cop car? A body cam video from a Baltimore police officer shows a distracted driver plowing into a parked police cruiser while playing Pokemon Go. Fucking amazing.
Dude, there's been a lot of deaths and accidents because of this game. There was a kid that broke into a house chasing a Pokemon. And then
really?
Was because he broke into this person's house, they shot him because he was breaking and entering. And
oh my god. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's news stories every day.
Yeah,
this
every day there's
game.
Something Darwin.
In
happening.
Sad movie news, TS, Shawshank Redemption, you've seen it. It's
yes,
a great movie.
Yes, I have.
The tree of that movie, you know, where he made love to his wife and then proposed to her, and then Red went there and got the money and the instructions on how to get to Say Wataneo.
Yeah.
That tree, right? It fell down.
It's gone.
It got hit by lightning, and it weakened, and then a big windstorm came through and finished it off. It was in Ohio, rural Ohio, and the tree is gone.
It's gone. Well, you know what? It will live on in celluloid history.
That's a Smiths lyric. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did.
But that tree is gone, and it's they're hoping, people are like, oh, that's really sad. What a great tourist attraction for the state of Ohio. Hopefully people will make something good out of the wood. So maybe they'll make something really nice out of it, like
toothpicks.
Shawshank toothpicks. And there's a Game of Thrones blooper reel. Have you seen it?
I have not. I really don't watch that show, and I don't even care.
All right. Well, a lot of people do.
Yes, and I know. I'm in the minority here.
It's pretty fucking funny. If you go to, just go to YouTube and type in Game of Thrones blooper reel, it'll pop right up. Birthdays today, TS. Jason Statham is 48.
Man, he looks good.
He'd be in the top 10 guys I'd have sex with. If I had to pick top 10, he'd be in the top 10.
Well, he keeps himself in shape, so.
Curtis is number two. Look at him. Look at that fucking guy.
I know. He's very handsome.
Hey. Wayne Gretzky's number one, obviously, right? But Curtis Bird, number two. Look at him.
Up. Yeah. He also keeps himself in shape.
He keeps in great shape. Eats right.
He's a
works
drummer.
Works out spiritual.
He's a drummer.
Great drummer. Yeah. Jason Statham, 48. Mick Jagger, 72. I would not have sex with Mick Jagger. I wouldn't. Actually, I might, just to say I did.
His wrinkly old ass.
Kevin Spacey is 56 today. Usual Suspects, great actor. House of Cards, great show. If you've seen, that?
No.
You need to stay in more.
No, I don't. I've seen The Usual Suspects, and I've seen Kevin Spacey like buying Indian food in my neighborhood. I think he lives in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, amazing. Joe Jackson, the father of the Jacksons, is 87 and still alive and looks like a wrinkled-up old rat. Hey, my opinion. And a great drummer, Roger Taylor, who turns 66 today. Roger Taylor from Queen.
Yeah.
Not Roger Taylor from Duran Duran. Same name. Same instrument, too. Drums. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway.
My birthday's not till June. Then I'll be 152. We're going to have that interview with Bill Stevenson. Great drummer. What can I say about this guy? One of the most influential drummers, not only in punk rock, but just in music itself. He's so innovative, driving. And from a punk rock point of view, I looked up to him so much. I mean, every punk drummer that looks up to Bill, and to this day, even though he's had a couple surgeries, he still plays at a very, very high level. Here's my chat with Bill Stevenson, drummer for Flag, drummer for All, and a drummer for The Descendants, who have a new record coming out right here on The Dangerous Darren Show.
In conversation here at The Dangerous Darren Show on the Adobe Radio Network with punk rock drummer from The Descendants and Flag, Mr. Bill Stevenson. Hey, Bill, how you doing, my friend?
How's it going?
It's going. You know, it's California, living the dream out here, I guess. You know, people know you for, obviously, your great work in a host of bands, The Descendants, All, Black Flag. I mean, and you've been doing it quite a long time when you look at your discography. In drumming circles, just in general, people consider Bill Stevenson to be one of the very best. But in punk rock, you're considered probably the very best punk rock drummer that ever lived, or at least in the top three. Does that phase you? Does that ever enter your mind when you look back on your career drumming wise and think that, wow, I've really gotten to the point one out where people think I'm pretty damn good?
I guess I'm not the kind of person that would think about that stuff for more than a couple seconds. I really enjoy the music, and I enjoy playing, and I enjoy like drinking too much coffee and practicing a lot and just trying to get better. But I mean, you know, let's be honest, in a world full of drummers, there's a million, billion, trillion drummers that could just play circles around me. So, I mean, I think maybe the punk rock scene is a little bit insulated in that way. Like if I'm what passes for the best drummer in the whole scene, then maybe there needs to be some better drummers in the punk scene.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean, there's the Freezes of the world and Travis.
I can think of 100 punk drummers that could just play circles around me. But I guess, you know, that's the thing about music and art, right? It's all a matter of opinion. It's all subjective.
I mean, let's talk about drumming a little bit. Are you still, I mean, obviously you're playing shows, tons of shows with Descendants of the new record coming out, and with Flag, of course, going around the world. But do you still pick up things from other drummers, like whether you're recording them or you're listening to a song and you think, wow, that's a cool little riff. I'm going to try and incorporate that in a song down the road.
I think producing bands it's an interesting camera angle. And I reckon I learn as much about what not to do as what to do.
Right.
I think the biggest thing I've learned by watching drummers and by producing is I've learned to really regulate my volumes so that they're appropriate, so that if you throw a pair of room mics up, it sounds kick ass. So things like not making the crashes and hi-hat too loud to where they're louder than the drums are, and you know, having a good relative volume on all your the drums and everything. So things like that, I've learned that just from basically producing a lot of bands where the drummers weren't able to do that, and it just created problems in the recording. And so I surmised, well, if I play kind of erratically like that and not in a way that's pleasing to the ear. It probably creates problems for the live sound engineer as well. It just probably, if I can get my playing to where my playing is really, really dialed, it's going to make the live show just that much better.
You know, it's funny you say that, Bill, because I've watched you play over the last little while on some recent shows, and it seems like you definitely conserve your energy on a lot of the tunes. I mean, there's some songs where you have no choice. You have to go all out because it's just the energy required. The song requires it, but you do definitely conserve your energy. And I was going to ask you, that was one of my questions, is that something that is a product of just been doing it for as long as you have, or is it a hybrid of wanting to make a decent sounding mix for your front of house guy?
There's maybe three things that work. One is for the last 6 years, I've had only 50% lung usage, because my lungs were halfway clogged with pulmonary embolisms. So I had to make an adjustment to my overall oxygen use, you know, in order to be able to make it through the shows. But it was also conjunctive with me, like I said, studying and watching people play live. And also, yeah, being honest with yourself about what drumming looks like visually compared to what it sounds like when you close your eyes. I have made a number of concessions to try to make it sound better, but it is at the expense of maybe making it look a little bit more tame or controlled. Like the best person who explained it was Brian Keeneland from the Bouncing Souls. When I finished in Punk Rock Bowling in Asbury Park the other day, I walked off stage and he goes, the 2-inch punch. And so what we're talking about there is martial arts, you know, these people that can break through a board with a 2-inch punch. And he had made notice of the idea that I wasn't flailing my arms around in a way that was kind of visually eye candy, but I was delivering the most steady, consistent, strong hits, you know, that maybe he had ever seen me deliver. But then the other thing is that I did have a surgery on my lungs 6 months ago. I had open lung surgery and at the same time open heart surgery. And so they've repaired my lungs, but I had to take 4 months off where I couldn't even use my arms. I couldn't even drive or anything.
Wow.
And so, yeah, now I'm just excited to be building my strength back. And so, I mean, the eventual game is to be able to exhibit this extreme volume control where every hit sounds like a snare sample, like perfect, but at the same time maybe make it a little bit more visually interesting because now I have a lot more oxygen to work with.
Well, that's great. Congratulations on the success of those surgeries, and it seems to me it hasn't really affected your playing. You're still on the top of your game, in my opinion. You mentioned coffee, Bill, and it's definitely been a theme for you and the bands you played in over the years. I mean, if you had to guesstimate how many cups of coffee you've consumed in your lifetime, what would be a number?
Oh, harsh. Well, let's say, how about, let's say I started when I was 14, really. So I'm 52. So that's let's say I've been drinking coffee for, let's just say, let's say 38 years times 365 times maybe, in terms of 8-ounce cups, I mean, not that anybody uses an 8-ounce cup, but is that our unit of measurement for the purposes of this argument?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll do that.
So in terms of 8-ounce cups, probably, let's say 5 cups a day for 38 years.
Wow. Hey, when you had your surgeries, were the doctors saying anything at all about your caffeine intake? Was that even a topic?
Yeah, I mean, but the last time I went to my cardiologist, she told me I have to cut down because right now I'm up to like 15 espressos a day.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I'm way up now. The older you get, you have to drink more coffee, you know? So if you're going to play, I mean, if you're going to play songs that you wrote when you were 15, you got to drink a lot of coffee. But she said I have to cut it down to like 2 cups a day. But I say she's not the boss of me.
Exactly. There you go. Talking to Bill Stevenson, drummer for The Descendants, all in Flag, descendants.tumblr.com, and on Twitter, at The Descendants. I have to ask you a little bit about Flag, and then there's Flag, and then there's Black Flag with Greg. Is there any conversations happening or any potential for conversations with Greg as far as putting the two together and letting bygones be bygones?
No.
That's a quick answer. No, the answer is no.
Well, it really is. I mean, those bridges were, you know, that's something I just don't even want to talk about. I mean, none of us would want to have that happen. That wouldn't be good.
Well, not that it matters.
It's that would be, to me, that would be the ultimate sellout move, you know?
Right. I mean, I ask because I kind of have to ask, being an interviewer, and I thought to myself, if Danzig and Jerry Only and Doyle can get into a room, maybe Greg can and the rest of you guys can start having conversations. But if it's dead, it's dead. C'est la vie.
No, I mean, the whole reason we all have all done all this is out of the camaraderie and the brotherhood, and that camaraderie and brotherhood just isn't there on that between those two. Well, camps that you're talking about.
Yeah, Bill, I'm in a band too, so I know what it's like to harbor that and to have that involved in a band dynamic. So I'm hyper aware of where you're coming from. Again, talking to Bill Stevenson from The Descendants, All in Flag. So, Bill, the new Descendants record, which is out, it's called Hypercaffeum Spazinate. Tell me a little bit about that title. I'm assuming it has something to do with coffee and the science of coffee. And how did the recording go? And you guys must be stoked about that, yeah?
It's an element. Milo kind of discovered it. This sort of X factor agent that he found when he blended it. It was almost a lab accident. So it was just his coffee that he had on his desk. But so it amplified the intensity of the caffeine by many, many, you know, tens of times.
Oh my gosh.
And so he needed a name for this agent, you know, this element. So we figured hypercaffeine spazinate would be the name for it, much like, barium nitrate or something like that, you know.
Is it something that's available, or is it just he's keeping a lid on it?
Well, we're gonna eventually make our coffee to contain it.
You mean you guys? Like, you're gonna market it?
Well, we just sell it on our website. No big deal. But yeah,
amazing! Wow, that's incredible. Have you tried it yet? I'm assuming you have.
Oh yeah.
And how is it?
Well, it's crazy. A little goes a long way. Remember the Brill Cream? Brill Cream. A little dab will do you. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Wow. So your coffee budget will be cut in half as far as buying coffee.
Well, there's a process in getting it in there, so it might have to be a little more expensive, like per unit, but you'd need radically less units. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. I can't wait for this to be available. I'm going to definitely try it for sure, because I'm a coffee drinker. I'm on my third cup today. I haven't had breakfast yet. I mean, it's a diuretic, so I just love the taste. I love drinking it, so I'm right there with you, and I can't wait to give that a shot. Bill, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy there in the blasting room recording a billion bands like you always do, and it's always a pleasure to see you. I saw you at Punk Rock Bowling in Las Vegas. We exchanged a handshake and a hello, but I will see you again. Our paths will cross for sure in the future, and I appreciate your time today.
All right. Well, thank you for hearing me out, for giving me 15 minutes of your time.
All right, Bill. Be safe, and I'll see you on the road.
Okay. Catch you later.
Mr. Bill Stevenson, one of the greatest drummers of all time, but definitely, in my opinion and others, the greatest punk rock drummer of all time. Would you not agree? Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Whoa! Cheers to that, buddy.
Yeah.
Ryan Ginger. We're going to play some new Descendants on the other side of the break from their new record, Hypercaffeum Spazinate. It's a song called Victim of Me. That's on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'll stab you in the heart with my cock. I have no idea what that means.
iDobe Radio. iDobe Radio.
TS, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I knew I was wrong, believing for so long. I'm all out of love.
Oh,
I'm so lost without you. I knew I was wrong to say that I was so wrong.
Come on, man. You should know your Air Supply. Oh, I thought that was Journey.
What's the fucking difference? They're all the same, right? Hey, we have t-shirts now.
We do.
We have Dangerous Darren Show t-shirts that say, I'm with Stupid on the front. Classic, right? On the back is the Dangerous Darren Show featuring TS. And we will have photographs of them on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on our Twitter. And eventually, maybe in the coming days, there'll be a link on the Adobe Radio site, which you can click on our show. And then from there, you could order a t-shirt for your grandparents and for your friends and family
your
for
children.
Christmas.
We'll make them in children's sizes.
Yeah, get your Christmas shopping done early. Oh, T.S., it's time for some music news. Check it out.
Lots going on in the world of music. News, news, news from the world of music. Music, 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 music. Music news in your motherfucking face. Yeah.
The music news theme written by Cher.
Oh wow.
Yep. Sonny had a hand in it too before he died. Right before he died, the week before he died, before he went to died in his, was it Colorado? He died in a skiing accident. He contributed some lyrics.
Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah, he called me up. He's like, Darren, the last line should be music, 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 music. And I was like, wow, that's fucking brilliant, Sonny.
His legacy lives on.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Darren. Good luck with that. Thanks, buddy. Did you know that there's a new David Bowie box set coming out?
Really?
Yep. Parlophone Records has announced a new release of the new David Bowie box set. The set will be called Who Can't I Be Now? From 74 to 1976, and will feature each of Bowie's records recording during that time period. As a bonus, or a boner, will also feature the unreleased album, The Gooster.
Unreleased.
Unreleased record, not song, record. The Gooster was the working title for Bowie's Young American record before I changed it. So it's basically going to be a whole bunch of new songs that he recorded.
Like some shelved. B-sides, C-sides, D-sides.
Like, apparently they recorded a record. They were going to call it Young America, but then they shelved it and recorded a bunch of new songs.
Do you know what year he recorded this?
Probably in the 70s, early 70s.
All right.
So it's going to be brand new Bowie. Right. Like tracks that they found in a vault somewhere.
Oh, man. I can't wait for the Bowie and the Prince.
Yep.
New records.
Can't wait. It's going to be amazing. The Offspring have announced that they are going to be releasing a new song. It will be featured in Sharknado 4.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
That's great cinema right there. Like Sharknado, the series, is right up there with like the Goodfellas and like Godfather and, you know, Forrest Gump. Like great movie. Star Wars. Like it's like great cinema. You definitely. A clip of the song was played on K-Rock, a local radio station. If you want to seek it out, you can head over to punknews.org and it's right there. There you go.
I used to work for those guys.
I almost drummed for those guys.
Really?
Yep.
Then I would have been your drum tech again. What a weird world.
What a weird, wacky world we live in. And NoFX have announced a new record in the works. The album will be called First Ditch Effort. Classic. And it's going to come out October 7th via Fat Records. Hear the single 6 Years on Dope. You can go to YouTube. There's an actual short video they made for it. You can go to their website. It's all right there. And we're going to have next week Smelly from NoFX on the show, the drummer, Eric Sandin.
I love him. Awesome.
And we're going to play the track Sick Years on Dope as well.
Yeah.
Very That's cool. Music news. That's what's going on. You have some music news?
I have a little music news.
You have a little what?
I have a
little. Oh, a little music news.
What? What? It's the 30th anniversary release of the movie Sid and Nancy. Comes out soon by director Alex Cox.
They're never heard of
doing it. Never heard of it?
Nope. Sid who?
have you heard of Gary Oldman?
Oh, yeah. He played Sid, right?
Yeah.
Played Nancy? Was that?
Chloe Webb.
Holy web.
Iggy Pop's in there. Courtney Hole. Slash makes an appearance.
Wow. Holy fuck, really?
There's a lot of people in that movie. It came out in 1986. Anyway, it's the 30th anniversary, apparently, of when she died, was killed, whatever happened. Who knows?
They allegedly. Never even figured that out, did they?
They never did.
Well, Sid Vicious died during the investigation.
Yeah, mysteriously, of heroin overdose.
No, not really. His mom came over to the house and tried to cheer him up, quote-unquote. and shot him up and killed him.
Is that the story?
That's the story people are buying.
The legend?
His mom got him high.
Anyway, we can go see this film, Sid and Nancy, again in the theaters. It's coming out. I would bring a flask.
We should go and bring flasks.
We should.
And get our girls drunk.
Yeah.
See if they'll give us head in the theater.
I'll cut a hole in the bottom of my popcorn. And
Has that ever been done in the world? Do you think people have ever cut a hole in the bottom of popcorn and the girl's like, oh, is that your cock? Like, how do you, is that, I don't think it's ever been done.
I don't know. It's kind of, it'd be kind of messy. It'd be kind of messy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, man.
I don't want butter on my cock. Call me crazy.
You are such a prude, man.
I guess so. Do you have any weed news?
I do.
Is it substantial?
It's a follow-up. It's a follow-up.
I'm threatening you right now, TS. If the weed news isn't good, I'm punching you in a cunt.
Okay. How about if the weed news is good, I get to punch you in the cunt?
No, if the weed news is good, you can make me a drink. It's a win-win
for me. I don't like this, but you will be impressed.
Okay, I don't have the music because I lost it. Call me crazy.
What?
No, I'll find it. I can just download it from one of our shows, but I've just been lazy. So I'm just going to sing it, okay?
All right. Why don't you just play it live?
Should I?
Yeah, grab a guitar. All right. Let's do it.
I don't know if I remember the chorus.
You can figure it out, man. It's got like 2-3 chords anyway.
All right, sure. Here we go. Oh, I got it.
We news. Yeah.
Is that good?
Good enough.
Dude, you know what I learned the other day?
That was great.
Because I was so bored. I learned this. Hip. What that is?
Weezer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I was bored.
All right. Well, today's weed news, hashtag weed news, comes to us from the NFL again.
Wow, fucking potheads in the NFL.
Yeah, they are. Medical marijuana advocate Eugene Monroe quits the NFL. 6 weeks following his release from the Baltimore Ravens, veteran OT Eugene Monroe has decided to retire from the NFL after just 7 years in the league. Monroe has been vocal about his stance in favor of medical marijuana over the last year. Even though, and this is a quote from Eugene Monroe, even though my football career is over, I plan to continue to be a vocal advocate of medical marijuana research, particularly as it relates to CTS. More steps need to be taken to curb the use of opiates in the NFL locker room, and I won't rest until something is done. Unquote.
Wow.
Eugene Monroe.
Serious about it.
Yeah, he's super serious. So he already believes that he's feeling some of the effects from multiple concussions and head trauma. So he's tapping out. But he became really vocal about medical marijuana in the NFL, and the Baltimore Ravens said that they didn't condone it, and then he was released earlier this year. So he was kind of shopping himself around, and then he decided, forget about it.
Could he have found a home, maybe?
He probably could have found a home. He wasn't like, he's a little older, but somebody would have picked him up. Somebody needs a...
Offensive line?
OT, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Offensive tackle. Yeah, that. So, yeah, those guys are always, especially a guy with that kind of experience.
Yeah.
Veteran.
So 90% of brains of former NFL players that have been examined show signs of the disease. Of CTS, and if you're wondering what CTS is, it's chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
I thought it was CTS was cock TS, like you.
Well,
like you're a cock.
That's in a different sort of sense, maybe.
Now, is this the same sickness or disease that was found in the movie Concussion, Will Smith movie?
Yes.
Same thing.
Right? Yes, this is it. So it's a degenerative brain disease that... is only discovered after death. So after death, posthumously, they examine players' brains, and they're finding that this is happening. It's not really it's caused by multiple concussions and severe head trauma.
But the symptoms are there, meaning, like if you watch the movie, guys were going off and going crazy and getting mad at their families and There are symptoms.
There's symptoms. The brain swells. They forget things, and
there's violent. They get violent.
They're violent, and it's no good.
So this is another, so weed swoops in like the hero that it is.
Weed swoops in as the miracle cure. And so far this year, Monroe has donated $80,000 to the CW Botanicals and the Realm of Caring, both in Colorado Springs, for medical marijuana research. So, you know, he's doing his part to bring it to light, and people are listening because he's an NFL player, and the NFL, they're starting to listen too.
Wow. So right now we're at 25 states, right?
25 states.
That have recreational.
No, medical.
Medicinal.
Medical and or recreational.
And how many have recreational?
There are two. Two recreational.
Just Colorado? No, three.
Washington.
In our Oregon.
Oh, yeah, three. I
know more about weed than you. Well, yeah, well, Darren Pfeiffer's weed news.
That may cause short-term memory.
But Hawaii and Alaska are part of the medicinal, right?
Yes.
They've been knocked off. What state do you think will be the last one to go? Like, what's the most conservative state? Like Mississippi, Alabama?
Arkansas is lining up right now, but there's groups against it. There's actually, like, I don't know why, money from other states comes in every time these issues come up. Like, there's an anti-medical marijuana movement in Arkansas going on right now, but it's sponsored by some millionaire from Vegas. Why does he care what the hell goes on in Arkansas regarding marijuana?
Maybe is he from there?
I don't know.
Or maybe Reefer Madness is his favorite movie.
His favorite movie. And he's like, I've got a bunch of money. Let's pour it somewhere. You know, I guess if I was a billionaire philanthropist, I would spread my money around to other states too. And they're like, what's that guy TS doing with his nose in our business here in Mississippi and his pro marijuana?
Right. Well, that's good news. I mean, another high-profile athlete in the NFL shedding light on how the marijuana plant can help people with their problems, their concussion symptoms. And this is good stuff, TS.
It's good stuff.
You know what else is good stuff? Whiskey Ginger.
Yes, it is.
We're going to get to that while I play the brand new track from The Descendants.
Let's do it.
Victim of Me, off the record, Hypercaffeium Spazinate. Say that five times fast.
Hypercaffeium Spazinate. Hypercaffeium Spazinate.
That's medium speed.
Hypercaffeium Spazinate. Hypercaffeium Spazinate. Hypercaffeium Spazinate. I'm going to need more. Hypercaffeium Spazinate.
Well, no more coffee for you. Here's some brand new Descendants. It's on the Dangerous Darren Show. Right there from The Descendants. The song is called Victim of Me. The record is called Hypercaffeium Spazinate. Everywhere you pick up music, it is available on the 29th on Thursday. Definitely go and pick that up. With The Descendants, TS, you just can't go wrong. They've never released a bad record. They've never written a bad song. They're one of the greatest live bands of all time. And they feature Mr. Bill Stevenson, the greatest punk rock drummer to walk the planet Earth. High praise.
Amen.
To that, we'll have more Whiskey Ginger, which you graciously made for me.
Yes, I did.
Thank you very much.
I'm a mixologist.
You can mix two things. I'm with stupid. Hey, we should go skating with Tony Hawk soon.
We should.
We should give him a call.
Call him up, man. I'm ready. My legs are back up. I'm ready to drop in.
I'm fully healed.
Yeah, I'm.
I think I'm healed.
My wheels are broken in. My board is dialed in for the first time in years, and I'm ready to roll. Let's do it.
You ready to roll with these? Are you ready to hit some hind rails?
Rails, kick flip, heel flips, the suicide grinds.
To the rails.
To the
I'll be everything. Fucking so stoked if you pull that off. Come back on the other side, folks, and we're going to have some more alcohol, and we're going to do a couple other stupid, foolish things. Hang tight.
iDobe Radio. iDobe Radio.
All right, TS, you ready? Here we go.
All right, let's do it.
I'm going to serenade you again.
I can't wait. I can't fucking wait.
Let me wet the whistle.
Cheers, cheers to you.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Go.
Here we go. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Trying to forget my feelings of love. Yeah?
Is that Babs?
I don't fucking know what it is. It's fucking feelings, dude. It's feelings. Feelings. Ah.
You're making me feel uncomfortable.
Listen, everybody, we have t-shirts. They're called the Dangerous Darren Show t-shirts. Go to our Instagram, our Twitter, or our website and pick them up when you get a chance. Did you know, TS? I won last week, and I think I got you again this week, buddy.
Let's see.
This is a good one, okay? Especially if you're an American who has ever spent a $5 bill. Abraham Lincoln. He had a beard, right?
He sure did.
He had a beard because of a little girl's letter. On October 15th, 1860, 11-year-old Grace Bettle wrote the presidential nominee at the time to tell him that all the ladies like whiskers, end quote. Not only did he write her back, he grew a beard visiting her town after his election. He pulled into her crowd, pulled her from the crowd, sat her down with her and said, "Gracie, look at my whiskers. I have been growing this for you," and kissed her on the cheek.
"You like my beard, little girl?"
Are you saying... Don't say that about fucking Lincoln. He was a man.
He was. He was a man's man.
He was a man's man with a beard and a bullet in his head.
So a little girl writes him a letter and says,
"You need to grow a beard."
And he grows like this epic beard.
Yeah.
This iconic epic beard.
Yep. You have an epic beard.
I do. Okay. I have a story about that.
Oh, I'm all ears.
All right. So you remember, I don't know, we probably had the wall home haircutting kit, like the buzzer so we could shave our heads and make mohawks and be skinheads and shit back in the day.
Of course.
Yeah.
So came with the oil and yeah, the little broom.
But, okay, I don't know. Back then, it came with directions, probably just showed you how to give like a men's haircut number 1 through 2. But I bought the... I bought that haircutting kit again because I needed a new one. And to my surprise, it has a special section about trimming private areas.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Like in the instruction manual?
Oh, yeah. I have it here. I'm going to read it to you.
You have it on your phone?
Yes. Trimming private areas with trimmer and detailed head. Number 1, volume reduction using trimmer head. Attach guide to comb. Select long trimming length. Begin trimming. Start at the top and work your way down. Use progressively closer settings to get the quote-unquote look and length you prefer. Number 2, for hard-to-reach or tight areas...
Oh, my freaking God!
Use the detailer head. You got to pull and use another head. Always pull the skin taut, very important, and then move slowly until... move the detailer through the area to trim until desired look is accomplished. Number 3... shave in your private areas by gently shaving in the desired area and always keep the skin taut. That is very important, to keep the skin taut.
Agreed. But I know why that they put those instructions in the manual now.
Yeah, I do too, because
I have cut myself more than myself as well.
Because my skin was not taut.
Yep, yep, you got to put real taut. But then when you're with your lady friend that night, she's like, ooh, like, you're returning the favor.
It's like a fresh chicken.
Although it probably smells like a chicken as well.
Anyway,
what's your did you know?
I got
Lincoln's beard.
# did you know? Well, this is a good one then. All right. Dueling is legal in Paraguay as long as both parties are registered blood donors.
In Paraguay?
In Paraguay.
which is in South America.
Yes, as long as we're both registered blood owners, I can challenge you to a duel.
Everyone owns blood tests.
Yes.
I got new beep, 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 flashing. That's just in. Everyone has blood.
But are you a registered blood owner?
I got a card in my wallet. Yeah, of course. God, I don't know. I think the Lincoln story beats it out.
It probably does.
You know, I have to take a knee on this one. Oh, by the way, I called Satan today. Asked him if he's going to be free for a call. And he's he hasn't got back to me yet.
He declined.
He's not going to be on the show this
week. Went straight to voicemail.
I texted him. I called him and nothing.
Nothing.
I got Satan's number. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I don't have Jesus' number.
Well, he's busy right now.
Yeah, fuck that guy. in the world of sports, TS, lots going on. The Dodgers are playing pretty damn good ball. Their bullpen is playing really well. Starting pitchers are playing well. Later today, me and you might be making our way to Dodger Stadium
for
Japan night tonight. That's why tickets are a little more expensive tonight than they are for tomorrow's game, Wednesday.
What's the deal? Do we get something Japanese?
Yep, you get the Maeda bobblehead.
Oh, awesome. All right, I'm in.
Tickets are a little more expensive, and of course all the Japanese fans from around Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles, are going to be in attendance, and it's going to be a doozy.
They're all crazy. It's going to be a good time.
The Tampa Bay Rays are in town, and they're playing pretty decent ball in the absence of Kershaw, in the absence of Puig. Kendrick stepping up. Turner is one of the hottest
Turner's
bats.
Turner's on fire right
on
now.
Fucking fire, this guy. And who else is that? What's that other young kid?
Seager.
Yeah,
Seager.
He's out of control. So the Dodgers are in good shape. We beat St. Louis.
We're looking good.
Did you watch them the other day when the fucking Mayer's pitcher
came
out for an inning and a third?
That poor guy. It was his debut in the MLB.
His family was there.
His
ESPN.
Whole family on ESPN, the night game, they're showcasing his family. They're like, he was supposed to pitch in Memphis, and then he got moved to St. Louis, and the whole family drove to St. Louis, got tickets, and he gives up like a grand slam in the first inning.
Yeah, and then two more runs.
And then two more, yep. And welcome to the MLB, bro.
His earned run average after an inning and a third, 60.75. I'm not making it up.
Well, you've got some time to lower that, my man. It was your first one. You could probably do better.
Poor guy. But the Dodgers are looking pretty good right now. Also, Michael Jordan's in the news again, TS. Not again. He's in the news. He keeps a pretty low profile, Michael Jordan does. But Michael Jordan is widely considered one of the best NBA players of all time, if not the best. But sometimes he is refraining from using his celebrity to make a public stance on social issues. Jordan, who owns the Charlotte Hornets, publicized a one-page letter in The Undefeated. I guess you can just type in The Undefeated in Google and it'll come up. A new ESPN platform dedicated to exploring the intersections between race, sports, and culture. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
In that letter, Michael Jordan posted that he would be donating $1 million each to the International Association of Chiefs of Police, newly established Institute of Community Police Relations, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. The Hall of Famer also sheds light on violence from personal perspective. Jordan's father, James, was gunned down by two robbers in 1993. So Jordan just stepped up to the plate and donated $2 million for the cause. Good for him. I think he should use his celebrity more often, quite frankly, because he's fucking Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and Michael Jordan makes more money from Nike annually than all of the Nike factory workers in Malaysia combined. So he should.
Is that true?
It's true. It comes to me from Uber Facts. So,
like Uber the car service?
I have no idea. Possibly. They are
crack researchers when they're not taking calls. They're
not taking calls. Anyway, you know, he should, man. He makes a ton of money, and if this issue obviously hit close to home, so might as well throw some money at it, and maybe it'll do some good.
Yeah, $1 million each, right? Like, that's a lot of dough. I mean, that's tax-free, so they get to take that and go on and do whatever they want to do with it. Good for Jordan. Good for him.
And also, people, they're talking about it, but they're talking about it more because a celebrity brings it up and sheds light.
T.S., we're basically about 10 days or so, roughly. No more than that. Like, 2 weeks away from some NFL football.
Yes.
The Hall of Fame game, Green Bay versus Indianapolis on August the 7th. And then Thursday, August 11th, the first preseason schedule starts with like 8 games. And we do not have tickets yet to the Bills and the Rams yet. What the fuck? Although ticket prices keep going down.
They keep going down.
So I think I'm going to wait.
We're going to wait. We're gonna scoop them up last minute. We're going to go in the parking lot and get them.
Absolute worst case scenario, we are tailgating with other Buffalo fans in the parking lot and watching the game on some guy's fucking phone.
His iPhone.
iPad, whatever. We're going to watch the game.
Yeah, we got to be down there with among the people.
Oh, we're going to Uber it, by the way. I'm not driving to that shit.
Yeah, for sure. For real.
I'm gonna get caught again. I'm going to a production meeting with Beck. Yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on in the world of sports. Dodgers playing pretty good ball. They're creeping up on the hated ones, the San Francisco Giants. They're squarely in a playoff position at this point. My AL team, the Toronto Blue Jays, are playing pretty good ball as well. Although they dropped 2 of 3 to stupid Seattle in Toronto, but they're playing an interleague. The Padres are in Toronto right now.
Did you see Aroldis Chapman, the man who's throwing it like 105, the closer?
Got traded.
He got traded to the Cubbies. So the Cubbies are making a push.
Jesus
Christ.
Making
a real push. Like, they're stacking it.
105 miles an hour.
Like, consistently over 100. Fuck. Consistent.
It's impossible to hit. It's a ball you can't hit.
It's
no one can hit it.
Flying by you.
Basically, if you're a batter and you want to like take a stab at that, it's luck. If you make contact with the ball, it's luck.
You're like swinging. You have to start swinging like when you see the ball release the pitcher's hand.
Exactly.
Where's it going to go? Is it going to be in this zone, that zone? Maybe I can get a piece of it.
But with the guy who can throw in the 90s or this guy in the 100s, control is an issue. So he might be able to put, you know,
if he doesn't find his location,
then you can get on base.
Get on.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cubs might be the real deal this year. I'm kind of worried about him. He should be. TS, next week, check this fucking shit out. Ready? I mentioned it earlier, but I'll mention it again. Smelly, the drummer for NOFX.
Eric. Yes.
Eric Senden. Yep. He will be on the show talking about the new book they released called Hepatitis Bathtub and Other Stories, which is a fucking great book. I'm almost done with it. And when I'm done, I will give it to you.
Pass it along. I'd love to read it.
I got a stack of books here to read. If you haven't noticed, I got the Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, which is the David Stewart story from the Eurythmics.
Okay.
I have Chrissy Hines' book from the Pretenders.
Really?
Reckless, it's called My Life as a Pretender, and she's fucking badass.
Where'd you get these books from? I had no idea you read so much.
iHeartMedia. There's a big stack of them. I just took them. The War on Football, Saving America's Game by Daniel J. Flynn. Looks like a pretty good book. And Paterno is a, you know, the story of Coach Paterno.
The tell-all?
The tell-all, yeah. So right. I'm really looking forward to the Chrissy Hines story because she's a punk rocker. She used to hang out with Sid Vicious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Dave Stewart, like, he wrote all the great Eurythmics hits.
Early punk rock days.
So some good books there. But I will give you that book. You'll read it fast, and it's really good. Smelly comes on, talks about the new NOFX record, talks about his history with drug abuse, talks about sports, obviously drums and drumming, and it's pretty fucking rad. And we're also going to get brand new NOFX on the show, 7 years on dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Go to YouTube, folks. There's a little short video with Eric, Melvin, and Fat Mike doing a little impromptu video walking the streets of San Francisco for the like little impromptu video for 7 years on dope. But brand new NOFX on the show. I'm so excited. I've known Smelly and Eric and those guys for a long, long time. I play in punk rock karaoke. Eric Melvin's in the band. But NOFX to me are one of the greatest. I mean, do you remember reading about this? NOFX and Maximum Rock and Roll in Buffalo back in the day.
You know, it was like a legend. You didn't have the internet and the media to get there. So whatever you got was like print. It was like fanzines and MMR and probably. So I had some tapes. I had like a tape.
Compilations. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that, man. It's going to be fun. Hey, let's get out of here because we have to go to Dodger Stadium right now for game one of two.
a two-game series
with the Tampa Bay Rays. It's an AL East swing for the Dodgers.
Interleague.
They're hosting two against Tampa Bay, and then they host, I think, three.
Oh, Boston's coming to town.
Against Boston, the Boston Red Sox.
Boo.
Fucking boo's right, man. They're going to have, like, all those fucking Boston guys going to be there. Fucking Boston, eh? Yeah, wicked.
Drinking Cutty Sock after dark in the parking lot at the Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, we'll take the car to the Chavez Ravine and go in and get some Dodgers tickets. No big deal. Wicked. Wicked pisser. It'll be good fun. Watching the Dodgers fall down.
Yeah, cold hot dog and a warm beer.
If someone wants to fight, I'm Irish, so I'll fight them. Fucking stupid Dodgers. All joking aside, I love the city of Boston. It's fucking awesome, but yeah, I hate good people. Hate the Boston Red Sox. Well, I'm not that fond about the Boston Bruins either, but
yeah, or even the New England Patriots. But man, the good people of Boston anyway. We're just gonna have to agree to disagree on all things sports.
Yeah, the city of Boston is amazing. Great people, great shows, amazing food, unbelievable.
Awesome.
I lived there
punk
in a second.
Rock scene, awesome
totally.
Punks. Yeah,
the Boston hardcore Slapshot. The list goes on.
The hardcore scene is like the Middle East, dude.
The Middle East is the only venue I've ever played in the history of Goldfinger, 22 years, when I was drunk. Amazing.
That's awesome. Dude, I did this show in Boston with Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. I was the drum and percussion tech. And it was at this hotel ballroom for some reason, and the promoter forgot to order a barricade. So everybody was kind of bummed out. They're like, the show is sold out. There's no barricade. It's a bunch of drunken punks are going to be here. And they're like, Joe's like, well, there's nothing we can do. Fuck it. We're going on. We're playing. That's just the way he was. Like
punk rock.
He's like, punk rock, man. And the rest of the band, the band was huge. And there's a lot of people on stage. So they were a little bit leery and a little kind of bummed. But as soon as they started playing, everybody's going off, and the show's going off. People are stage diving the whole time. But during the encore, when they played White Riot, the place, like, it was going off the whole night, but just exploded for, like, the last couple of songs. And White Riot comes on, and people, there's, like, all these people rushing the stage and crowd surfing and stage diving and just going off. And by the end of it, everybody was super stoked because that was probably one of the best punk rock shows of the entire tour. And I was a little skeptical of not having a barricade and having all those people up on stage. But at witnessing this Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros play in Boston and having no barricade and all the chaos was just an amazing experience.
Wow.
The energy.
I mean, of the whole tour, and you did a lot of shows with the Mescaleros and Joe, and was that probably the most punk rock show of all of them?
That was probably the most punk rock show of all of them.
And the band wasn't like bummed afterwards?
Afterwards, I was like talking to everybody on wall, and they were like, that was one of the best shows of the whole tour.
Anything get damaged?
Nothing got damaged. No, you can repair everything, man. There's like vintage guitars and drums and keyboards and all kinds of like space echoes and effects, but nobody got near any of those things. And, you know, the fans went away with like, access, get up on stage with Joe Strummer, jump off, man.
That's amazing.
Go crazy.
And that's all the city of Boston.
Boston.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love them.
Not a big fan of the sports teams, but if you're from Boston, you're stoked. Like, you really are stoked. If you're a sports fan, your team wins Super Bowls, they win World Series, they win Stanley Cups, they win NBA championships. You're just living the dream.
Just living
the
living it
fucking
up.
Dream in Boston. Fuck you, Boston.
Love
next week
you.
We have Smelly on from NoFX. Check that out. And a brand new music from NoFX, DangerousD_show. That's the Twitter handle, the Instagram handle as well. I'm at Darren99. TS is over there at Burn H Wood Burn. Thanks again to our friends at Roland. Thank you, Bill Stevenson, and the good folks at Epitaph Records for setting up my chat with Bill. And check out the new Descendants record, Hypercaffeum Spazinate, in a couple days, and maybe 3 days, and the 29th. You can pick it up everywhere where you consume music. Definitely go and check that out. TS, one more cheers, and we are out of here.
Cheers, brother.
We'll see you at the Dodger Stadium tonight for the Rays, and have a drink on me, and go Doyers.
Yeah, stay trippy for life.
Woo! Smoke them if you got them.
Fuck you, motherfucker!